So thankful for that wonderful prayer this morning, and what a wonderful blessing. Brother Gary was praying the truth this morning, that in the midst of everything that's going on around us, it seems that many areas of our society are in chaos, but we can ground ourselves on those precious truths of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thought that Jesus Christ came into this world. He didn't have to, but he had such great love for us that he came down and laid down his life for our sins, us as God's elect. If you have your Bible and want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Psalm 119. It seems like it's been forever since the last time I spoke, but earlier this month, we started taking an overview look of Psalm 119, kind of like the Goodyear blimp view of this psalm that is of such encouragement to us as we ponder its truths as God's people. And I want to take another really aerial view of Psalm 119. My desire as we look in this book is not to go verse by verse, but hopefully be encouraged about the Word of God. We spoke a few weeks ago, and we looked at several verses that encourages us as God's people to go to His Word and gain strength in His Word. And this morning I want to narrow it down a little bit more, and I want us to look at some verses in Psalm 119. And I want us to look at the writings of David and see how we as God's people can cultivate a love for God's Word. That should be our desire as the Lord's people, to love His Word. And what we're going to find as we look at a few verses from Psalm 119 is that David loved God's Word. And I hope this morning that we love God's Word as His people. I trust that you do, or you likely wouldn't be here this morning. But what I've discovered in love is that it takes us as the Lord's people in any kind of endeavor where we're trying to love, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes labor. I think about it from it's my experience, from my personal experience. I think about that in the realm of marriage. You flash back over 20 years ago now, I had the opportunity to marry the one that I loved. 20 years ago, there were quite a few of you that weren't even born. That kind of makes me feel old now, but my wife and I, we had planned on getting married, I think, in June of the next year, but we just decided that we didn't want to wait and got married in December and got married in Brother David's dining room, and Sister Sherry made me a Twinkie cake, so I remember that too. But I remember during that ceremony that I thought, there is really no way I could love my wife any more than I love her now. But as time and experience goes on, I've proven that wrong, or she's proven that wrong, I guess, that as you go along, you find out that you can love someone that you thought you couldn't love anymore, you can love them more. Think about all of the ups and downs in life. You know, we've been blessed to have 6 kids, and as I was able to be there as our children were being born and seeing the strength of my wife as she went through that process, doing something that I would never be able to do, I saw more love. As we've gone through the inevitable ups and downs and trials and tragedies of life and seen how she has handled them, I've learned to love her more. And I think as God's people, I think we can draw an illustration from that when we look at the Word of God. I'm thankful. I want to say first and foremost, we have a love for God's Word because He's blessed us with His Spirit. We would not have any desire for the Word of God unless he had put that desire in our hearts. But I want you to understand, when we have a love for something, as we continue to grow in that love, it requires labor, it requires work, it requires struggle, and dare I say, sometimes it requires us loving even when we don't feel like it. So that's why, as we look at Psalm 119 this morning, I want to talk about cultivating a love for God's Word. Let's read the first 2 verses of Psalm 119 this morning, and we're going to see over and over again, and you can go home and read this psalm later, David continues to speak about the love that he has for God's Word, and it's a love in a positive way. And I want to make that point if I forget it later on. David's love is expressed in a positive way. Now, sometimes my wife's love for me may not be positive. I may be not acting right for one way or the other, and she loves me out of duty. Understand, as you see these verses here, the psalmist never expresses, I guess what you would call, love in a neutral or negative way. It's always positive. And I don't want us to miss that as we see these verses, because that's where we should strive to be as God's people. Notice in Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist starts out by saying, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart." That's a very positive start to this psalm about the word of God. We see here evidence in the psalmist of evidence of the Lord touching his heart. He talks about the great blessings that come in those that are walking in the way of the Lord, striving to honor, striving to serve the Lord. And then he says there's great blessings in keeping his testimonies. Testimonies is a synonym for the word of God. And David launches into this great praise about God's word. And what a wonderful blessing. We have a love for God's word. And maybe you think about your initial experiences when the Spirit of God touched you and you had a desire for spiritual things, had a desire for the word of God. Maybe you don't remember there ever being a time in your life where you didn't love the word of God. That can be the case as well. But I want us to see that as we cultivate a love for God's word, there's great blessings that pour out in our lives. There's great blessings in our marriages as we try to learn to love our spouse more. As we learn more about one another, we grow in our love. We do that because what? We're discovering more things about that one, that object in which we love. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. When we pay attention to God's Word and pay attention to what He has blessed us to be able to understand, blessed us to be able to comprehend in Scripture, it's glorious in our lives. It flows into our lives, and it affects every area of our life. And we're going to see that. I'm just going to look at several different areas from Psalm 119, but I want us to see some blessings that come with loving God's Word. First of all, when you start cultivating a love for God's Word, you're going to have a greater desire to think upon biblical things and spiritual things. David teaches, let's go to Psalm 119. I'm going to do like I did last time. I'm going to skip around a little bit. But Psalm 119 and verse 47, notice what the psalmist writes here on this occasion. He says this, "And I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved." Verse 48, he says, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Notice here, David is telling us here that he loves to think about God's word. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We can love God's word to such a degree that it permeates our thoughts. It permeates our subconscious. It permeates our lives. And that's a question we ought to ask ourselves every day. Are our lives saturated with God's word? I'll submit unto you, if we have not spent time in God's word and cultivating a life that involves reading and studying the Bible, that's just not going to happen. But notice David says two things here. And again, positive. He says, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." The word delight here means that he is immersed in it. He has made this a regular part of his life. He's made it a priority. And then he says, "My hands." He's saying here, I will show forth love unto God's commandments. And then he says, "I will meditate in thy statutes." The word meditate here means that he gives deep thought to the things of God's word. Now, in our modern vernacular, when we think about meditation, we may think of some some exercise and perhaps emptying our mind of anything. The New Age philosophy says that meditation involves emptying your mind of all things. It's a dangerous practice to empty our minds. When we empty our minds of spiritual things, it leaves room for ungodly things to come into our mind. David wasn't talking about just getting into a state of being empty-minded. And I'll say this, I think our society today has too many people that their minds are empty and they don't think about things. They don't think about their actions. But David says, I'm going to fill my mind, I'm going to fill my thoughts with the Word of God. And I want to say this morning, the Bible is the best source that we have in which we can direct our thoughts, in which we can fill our thought life with. We need God's Word in this life. Again, you think about the ups and downs that come with life. They're all going to come. If you think I'm never going to have any troubles or never going to have any difficulties, you're fooling yourself. We've all had difficulties, haven't we? We've suffered tragedy. We suffer trials. We suffer health issues. We suffer crises in our careers, crises in our jobs, difficulties when we get to school. I want to ask you the question, what is better to fill our thoughts and minds with than God's Word? David says this, he says, my hands will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I remember several years ago, and thankfully, God has blessed me and my family. We've had difficulties, and we've had challenges, but compared to the sufferings of many other people, they're minimal. But I remember several years ago, before we moved down here, I suffered what probably a lot of you have suffered. I suffered the loss of a job. I had a job that was funded by a federal grant, and everything was going well, and the job was going well, and I felt like things were being successful, but it happened right around the time where the government shut down, I think probably around 2009, 2010, and all of that. They just said, well, these federal grants, they're gone. So I went from a point to having what I felt like to be a secure job to, well, we're sorry, you're not going to have a job after that point. And when you have mouths to feed, that can be a real stressful time. You know, a lot of you have been there. A lot of you have suffered through that. But I'll tell you, one of the great encouragements during that time was when the Word of God was brought to my mind. And there, I was thinking back on this. There were a couple of areas that really carried me through during that time. And you know, one of the areas was Proverbs chapter 3. And that's one of those verses that many of you probably have memorized. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, where Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. Then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That was a verse that the Lord just used in my mind over and over again as I, you know, dealt with the situation of not having a job and then trying to figure out what we're going to do next, how am I going to provide for my family. That was a great verse that gave comfort even in the days and weeks and even months to come when another job didn't come instantly. Another area was Ephesians chapter 3. During that time, I had purposed in my heart, I'm really going to dig in and try to commit a lot of the book of Ephesians to memory, because it was one of those books that gives comfort to those that are struggling, comfort to those that were going through trials and tribulations. And Ephesians chapter 3 in particular is one of those areas. And another verse that gave great comfort was verse 20, where Paul, in the midst of speaking about his trials and telling God's people not to be overcome with grief because of his trials, he says this about our God. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That verse came to mind as well. It was a great reminder that God's in control. He knows what our family stands in need of. He knows that we have to eat. He knows that I need to be able to provide for my family. And God blessed. And I think as we study and as we cultivate a love for God's Word, God blesses that effort, He blesses that labor, and brings to our minds those scriptures that give the right comfort at the right time. Has that been your experience as you've gone through trials and adversities and tribulation? Has God brought a scripture to your mind? Has God brought a passage in the Bible to your mind that you just hung your hat on? That's a blessing that we get when we dig into God's Word and study God's Word. And that's a great positive. David, he says, I will delight in thy commandments which I have loved. He says, I will meditate in thy statutes. Our minds need to be filled, they need to be saturated with the things of God. And I want to see another blessing that goes along that same line. When we love God's Word, when we cultivate a love for God's Word, it gives us clarity in the midst of difficult times. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 24. David says this. He says, thy testimonies. Now remember, testimonies is a synonym of God's Word. He says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He says, your word, God, it's a delight to me, and it provides counsel. We all need counsel from time to time in this life, to varying degrees and varying intensities. There's all types of counseling that you can get out there. You can get career counseling. You can get counseling in school. You can get counseling in marriage counseling or counseling if you're going through some kind of struggle here in this world, in this life. But David says here that his delight was in the counsels of God's Word. And there's good counseling out there. Sometimes we need counseling. The greatest counseling that we can get, though, is from wisdom provided from God's Word. And the word counsel, the word literally means wisdom. You could read this as David saying, I delight in your wisdom. And with the wisdom of God's Word comes clarity. And again, in the world that we live in today, do we not need clarity? I tell you, I think a lot of God's people are trying to seek clarity. Sometimes we try to seek clarity in the things of the world, and it further muddies the water. And this world will do this. This world will cloud and muddy our thinking. You know, you listen to a lot of the philosophies of the world, and you scratch your head, and you say to yourself, well, is this supposed to give me hope? Is this supposed to give me encouragement? This just causes more stress. This just causes more anxiety. This just further frustrates me. You turn on the news. You turn on talk radio, and it raises up your anxiety levels, and you don't know which way to go. David says, your word, your testimonies is what I delight in, and it is my counsel. And then going back to Ephesians chapter 3, is that not what Paul encouraged as he was speaking to God's people? And going back to Ephesians chapter 3, a little bit back before the verse I quoted in verse 20, he says in verse 13, notice this again, it's in the midst of his adversity. Paul says there in verse 13, he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He's saying, don't faint. Don't be anxious. Don't be overwhelmed with my trials, with my tribulations, with my difficulties. And then he launches into this prayer that he writes to this church. He says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven and earth is named. Notice that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. My friends, that passage right there, it's clarity during times of tribulation, isn't it? Maybe you're worried because someone you love is going through some great trial. That can really be a traumatic experience for us, can it? If we have a loved one that's suffering, a loved one that's going through some health crisis, or we can even place ourselves in here as we go through again the inevitable difficulties of life. Paul speaks here of us being strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man, and Paul's prayer here was that we would understand the wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. And it's really here in verse 18, a four-dimensional type of blessing that we have. He said, my prayer for you is that you may be able to comprehend, you may be able to understand the wonderful blessings of the breadth, length, depth, and height of God. And that's how he loves us, my friends. That gives clarity, doesn't it? Just very simply stated, what we can glean from in God's word, and what I believe David gleaned from, was that no matter how bad things are in this world, no matter how confusing, how cloudy this world is, we can hang our hats on the clear truths of God's word. That he's on his throne, he loves us, he knows what we stand in need of, and we can be grounded in that. David says we can have clarity when we cultivate a love for God's word. Also, I want you to understand as well, and this takes a little bit of shifting in the ways that some of us think, and I know this affects the way that I think and the way I have previously thought about the word of God. One of the blessings of cultivating a love of God's word is that you will remember his word. You'll remember it. And I want you to understand that this goes beyond just the intellectual exercise of memorizing and studying God's word. Verse 16 of Psalm 119, David says this again in the positive, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Why did David not forget his word? Was it because David had somebody smacking him on the hand with a ruler when he misquoted some of Scripture? Or, you know, he had his mom or dad that was breathing down his neck wanting him to memorize a certain passage or a certain portion of the Old Testament? No. He did not forget God's word because he loved it. And, you know, we can get in the mindset sometimes that studying God's word or even memorizing passages or portions of God's word is just to be an intellectual exercise that we have to do because we feel obligated to do it because the preacher said it, because somebody else in the church said it, or because mom and dad said it. Memorizing and studying the word of God is great, and we should be doing that. But it should be done out of a great love for God's word. Now, I remember a lot about my wife, not because it's just an intellectual pursuit that I just have to do and go through those motions and go through those routines and keep a note list of the things that she likes and important dates and this and that and the other. I remember things about my wife. So someone asked me about my wife. I can recall many things because why? Because I love her. And this has been my life's experience. We do remember the things that we care about, don't we? Sometimes we use the excuse, well, I'm just not good at remembering things. You know, I've never been good at memory and never been good at recalling things readily. And we'll say that perhaps about scriptures or perhaps about important practices and principles in God's word. But if we needed to quote forth our fantasy football list or the statistics of our favorite basketball player or when the concerts are going on in town, we can do that. The main point is that I want us to cultivate a love of God's word to such a degree that we don't forget it. Because we do remember what's important. We show up for the things that we care about. And David says that because I delight in the statutes of God, I'm going to show up and I'm not going to forget his word. And again, this moves beyond just the intellectual pursuit of understanding God's Word. There's a lot of people that intellectually have an understanding of the Word of God and can quote scriptures and can recall verses from memory that really don't show a lot of evidence of even having the love of God in their hearts. The devil himself can quote God's Word. He probably has a better working intellectual knowledge than we do. But David said he is motivated by love and delights himself in the statutes of God's Word and does not forget His Word. And when we cultivate a love, then when we love God's Word like we love the things of the world and we dedicate our time and energy and brain cells to, we'll be blessed and we will be able to recall the Word of God and pull it out during times of need. Share it with others when we have opportunity. But going on, and I'm going to try to be respectful of time this morning because I know what's coming this afternoon. David also teaches us that when we have a love for the Word of God, it does create a spirit of obedience. Now, this is probably one of the most familiar verses in Psalm 119, verse 11, where David says this. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, what? That I might not sin against thee." Here's the wonderful blessing as we grow in our love for God's Word and we start thinking about God's Word and we get clarity from God's Word and we think upon God's Word, it affects our actions, it affects our behavior, it affects our lives and the decisions that we make, whether or not we do things that are pleasing unto God or choose to do sin. I think the simplest way that I can put it this morning that applies to both young and old is as we commit and lovingly commit the Word of God to our lives, it's going to affect our behavior. When we stray away from God to whatever degree, to whatever intensity, and we're all familiar with individuals. Brother David mentioned last Sunday folks that have just walked away and left the church completely. It doesn't just, one day someone decides, well, I'm just going to do my own thing this day. I submit unto you that oftentimes what happens is folks lose their love for God's Word. And it takes them down that path. The path of sin, the wide path that the Bible says leads to destruction, it starts by not being in the Word of God, not having a love of God like you should. David would say in Psalm 119, I believe verse 129, he would say, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." We have to work at love, don't we? We have to work at loving our spouses, loving our children. Now, I understand there's a love that we have, just an innate love, but love is an action word. And David, you see, David says here, he says, "Your word, your testimonies are wonderful." He says, "Therefore doth my soul keep them." And here's a wonderful word of encouragement for you this morning. Perhaps you are on that fence and you are struggling with your faith. We all get there, don't we? When trials and tragedies and adversity comes, we struggle with our faith. When I was without a job for a period of time, I struggled with my faith. But we do that because we have a human nature. But what David is saying here is that the wondrous glory of obeying and loving God's Word is far greater than anything that we can get out of a sinful life. He's saying, you think about worry. We like to worry. I worried during that time. I still worry from time to time today. But isn't there a far greater blessing in going to God's Word and reassuring yourself about the promises of God rather than stressing out and worrying over things that you have no control over? David says here, my soul, and when he talks about the soul, he says, my innermost being desires to keep your statutes, keep your testimonies, because they are wonderful. The Bible has a lot to say about worry, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus spends a good portion of that chapter saying, don't worry. Paul, in the midst of his adversities, he tells the church at Ephesus, he says, don't worry about me. God is in control and he has manifold grace for my trials. In the book of Philippians, Paul writes this. He says, be careful for nothing. What he's saying there in today's language is to don't worry. He says, be careful in nothing, but what are you to do? But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and establish, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. David says, when you love the word of God, when you cultivate that love, you will obey God. He says, don't worry. He says, be careful for nothing. He's not saying be careless, but he's saying, don't worry. God is able to bless. And even in those circumstances where you don't see any way out at all, God's able to bless. He's able to give you a peace which passes all understanding. And I'm thankful that things of God are past understanding. Because there's a lot of things in this world that our feeble minds can't comprehend. But the Word of God gives us peace that God's got it. He has it. So he says there's a blessing in obeying God's Word. And also, as we look along those lines as well, the psalmist also teaches us that when we cultivate a love for God's Word, when we love his testimonies, it'll spare us from a lot of trouble. Because what happens when we choose our own way and decide not to follow the ways of God? It never ends well, does it? The path may seem great at the very beginning. It may seem like fun. It may seem like the right way to go. But eventually, as we choose our own path, which usually is a path that detracts from God's pattern, troubles come. David understood this. Notice verse 92. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. The word perish there means to die. You say, Brother Michael, is there behaviors and activities that even us, even we as children of God, we can engage in and it could cost us our lives? Absolutely. We live in a sin-cursed earth, and when Adam transgressed God's commandments, when he transgressed God's law, sin and death came into the world. And I believe I think there's a twofold meaning to this, but I believe David had in mind, he said that if he had strayed away from God's word, it had the potential to cost him his life. And we see people make decisions all the time, and we all probably know folks that we are sure that they were God's children, but they took a path that led to their death. But it could also just mean maybe slow destruction in our lives. You know, there's also we can have a response to trouble that would lend itself to a slow deterioration, a slow destruction in our lives. And I believe David experienced that himself, didn't he? Remember, David was the man after God's own heart, but David was also a man that disobeyed God. Remember the incident with Bathsheba and how he committed adultery and then conspired to have Bathsheba's husband killed and in the midst of the battle and all of the fallout that ensued from that. If we're not delighting in the law of God, it can create chaos and trouble in our lives. And as God's people, when troubles come, the loss of the job, the health crisis, the difficulties that we see loved ones going through, our goal, and what David is teaching us here, our goal is to respond in faith and not in the flesh. And that is difficult because we battle with this flesh on a daily basis. It's the flesh that worries. It's the flesh that decides, well, these things have happened to me, and God has let these things happen to me, so I'm done trying to follow him. Do you ever have those thoughts in the midst of difficulties? David says, no, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. And I encourage you as you go through your afflictions and trials and tribulations, don't run away from God. Don't run away from God's word. Run towards it, embrace it, and delight it. And again, you will have peace that passes all understanding. Going on very quickly, David also says that as we love and delight in the word of God, that it's a blessing that we can possess forever. Notice verse 111 of Psalm 119. David says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." What is it when we think about a heritage? We may think about the heritage that we have. As being a Green, I can think about the heritage that the Green family has over however many years, 200 years. There's good and there's bad in there. But what you're thinking about is something long-term. Sometimes we think about leaving a godly heritage for our children and grandchildren that are going to come along. David says here, he says that he has taken the word of God as his heritage. He has taken the long-term view and he said, I'm going to embrace God's word forever, for all of my life. Here's the blessing. You can invest long-term in God's word, and it will bless you throughout all of your life. You can invest in the things of the world, but very quickly, they will lose their power. They will lose their potency. They will lose their delight in your heart and your mind. But David says the word of God is one that is there forever, and it's a great peace and a great comfort. When worry comes, it's a great joy to have embraced the word of God and get comfort from that word. Thinking about Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is teaching us not to worry and not to stress out about things that are out of our control. He says, I believe it's in verse 27, he says, which of you, you human beings, that you know, by taking thought can add one cubit into your stature? He's either talking about, you know, which of you can add another 2 or 3 inches to your height? Can we do that? Or he could be talking about which of you could add another year, another 5 years, another 10 years to your life. What he's saying here is that there are things that are out of your control that God is in charge of. And then Isaiah, as in the book of Isaiah, that's a tough book to read as you try to study God's word. We were reading through Jeremiah at home. We started Jeremiah last night, and one of the kids says, boy, Jeremiah sure is tough to read. You know, it's challenging to read to keep along with what's going on in there, but it's even more tough when you think about the content of that word. Well, Isaiah is a tough book of the Bible as well, as we see the judgment of God coming down upon a people that chose to do their own thing instead of honor God's word. But Isaiah says this in the middle of all of that calamity that was coming and going to come upon Israel. He said this about the word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, he says, The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What he was saying to disobedient Israel was that the word of God is what you need to cultivate in your lives. Stop listening to the words of your neighbors, the words of the peoples around you, the words of your fear and your flesh. He said the word of God shall stand forever. And David understood that. Do you believe that this morning, that the word of God shall stand forever? Even in the postmodern society that we live in today that says there's no absolute truth and truth is whatever you want to make of it. I believe that, and I hope we believe it as well, because that's going to give us hope as we encounter this world that's full of difficulties and hopelessness. The only thing about the postmodern philosophy and the postmodern thought is that life happens. Difficulties happen, and there is no hope in that philosophy. But there is an understanding that there is an anchor that we can look to. There's a true north that we can embrace, and that's the word of God. And again, just very quickly, David also teaches us that as we cultivate a love for the word of God, we will have peace. Verse 165, David says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, how much of our lives is spent in not having peace? I confess that it happens to me. You ever have situations where you're just in upheaval, and maybe you don't even know why? Everything gets on your nerves. Everything everybody says and everything everybody does just irks you, and nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever to your satisfaction. Nothing is ever the way that you think it should be. We get there. I get there. But again, listen to the words of David. Great peace have they which love thy law. I know enough about my nature to realize that when I get cranky and when I get that way, it's because I want to have control of everything. I want to be controlling, and I want everything to go the way that I think it should go. The Word of God says, no, the peace that we have comes from embracing God's Word. David, think of all the responsibilities David had as king of Israel, as the one that God had anointed to lead Israel after a disastrous time prior to David being king. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think the greatest peace that we have is when we're in God's Word, when we're regularly embracing and studying God's Word, when we're sitting under the preached Word of God. It does away with a lot, doesn't it? It should do away with our opinions, because in light of what God's Word says, we should put away the way we think things should be run and trust in God. It should do away with the what-ifs that we engage in as we worry about whatever's going on in our lives. You know, it goes back to what Paul says. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could hope for, anything that we could ask for. David says that there is great peace. I want peace in this life. That's what we should be working towards. Now, I'm not talking about the peace at all costs, where you compromise the God's Word and do away with essential truths of God's Word. But I'm talking about peace that comes with embracing God's Word in our lives. David says there's great peace in that. And finally, I want us to see just one more place. The wonderful blessing of cultivating a love for God's Word is that we get a better understanding of our deliverance. A better understanding, in other words, a better understanding of how we're saved as God's people, how we're delivered. David would say in verse 41, and it's amazing as you see the Word of God. David goes back to this theme as you read through as well. David says in verse 41, he says, let thy mercies also come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now, was David saying, come and save me eternally, O God? Was he saying, out of your word comes eternal salvation? No, I believe what David was saying here is that, Lord, I understand that your word speaks of where mercy comes from, and your word speaks of where my salvation and where my deliverance comes from. What made Brother Gary Wayne's prayer so wonderful this morning was that he was extolling the one who delivered us. And just as Brother Gary's prayer didn't save us this morning, the Word of God doesn't save us eternally, but it gives us a reminder of the source of our salvation. And King David said, Lord, let your mercies come unto me. He's saying, let your mercies be brought to mind when my enemies would overwhelm me. When I mess things up, O Lord, let your mercies come upon me. He's saying here, O Lord, even your salvation according to your word. Again, it takes the Spirit of God quickening us for us to comprehend, love, and desire spiritual things. But how do I know about my Lord? I learn from His Word. And what do we learn from the Word of God? That He chose us in Christ Jesus before the world was formed. That's incredible to think about, isn't it? You think about the trials and difficulties. I think about my own life and how much I fall short on a daily basis. Praise be to God. We understand through His Word that we were saved before this world was even formed, before man was even created, before we were even born. The Word of God gives us that comfort and instruction, doesn't it? The Word of God teaches us that we're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible teaches us that we aren't able to get the job done. The Bible teaches works, but works do not cause our salvation. They're a fruit of our salvation. They're a result of our salvation. The Bible teaches us that what the nature and person of Jesus Christ, who He was, what He did for us. We've been looking on the Gospel of John on Wednesday evenings, and we see the nature of Jesus Christ. He wasn't merely a man. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a man sent from God. He was God. He was the Son of God who came into the world, lived a sinless, spotless life for His people, and laid down His life for our sins on the cross. We understand more about what happened on the cross, don't we? There's a lot of good people who don't have a clear understanding of what happened on the cross. He wasn't on that cross because he was under the authority of the Roman leadership of that day or under the authority of the Jews, and there were just a series of circumstances that put Him on that cross and He was defeated in His purpose. No, on that cross He had victory. He won victory for us as God's people. He shed His blood. The Bible teaches us He shed His precious blood on that cross for our sins, for the sins of His people, and paid our sin debt. And praise be to God. And what a wonderful comfort as we think about the loss of friends and loved ones this morning. He died for our sins, but He rose again the third day. And the Bible teaches us that. It teaches us where Jesus Christ is now. He's not in some tomb somewhere. He's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Does that not give you comfort in the darkest hours of your life? Everything in my life may fall apart here in this world, but there's a far greater hope for me as a child of God. The Bible teaches us about heaven, doesn't it? This world isn't our home. And because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have a home beyond this world. We have a home beyond this veil of tears because we serve a risen Savior. And what David was exclaiming here as he spoke about the Word of God is, really he's saying here, remind me of your mercies. Remind me of your great blessings that you have bestowed upon me as your child. Remind me, Lord, of Thy salvation. Remind me, Lord, that You're the one who saved us. You're the one who's delivered us. And we can even take that into the here and now. Isn't it a wonderful blessing as we read God's Word, we see how He blesses us and provides for us even on a daily basis. Lord, help us to see the Word of God through the lens that the psalmist provides for us here in Psalm 119. May we approach God's Word not just out of some kind of obligation, not just out of some kind of intellectual pursuit, but may we approach it with the desire to cultivate the love that God has put in our hearts. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior and blessed to see that He's the one that's delivered you, there's instruction for you in the Word of God as well to come ahead and make a public profession. Be baptized. We're going to be having a baptism here at some point soon, and we'd be as thrilled as we can be. If you believe these truths and desire to unite with this church, we encourage you to come forward. We'll sing again.